going to be reading Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Amen. We want to listen to God's voice through Scripture. And this morning comes from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Randy, blessings to you, sir.
Thank you, my friend and brother Shane. Isn't it awesome having him as worship leader? I'll tell you what. And he's our worship chair. How good does it get? This morning, the focus is, as it should be every Sunday morning, but especially our praise and worship to God, our love for Jesus, and saying thank you. So I wanted to begin the sermon by thanking all of you. Thank you for helping me to preach the sermon this morning. Now, some of you might be thinking, "You're the one preaching, Randy. Why do you say I'm helping to preach?" Well, it comes from a little story from Melissa Flora Bixler, who's also a Mennonite pastor. She was at an ecumenical church conference, and she was sitting beside someone that was not Mennonite. And this person asked Melissa, "So how long do you normally preach for?" And Melissa said, "Well, 15 to 20 minutes is fairly typical." And this person was just astounded. "My pastor preaches for 45 minutes. He could never get away with a 15-minute sermon." And Melissa explained to this person, "Well, actually, in total, that's about how long our preaching time is at our Mennonite church. See, we have a sharing time as well, and our worship leader also shares, and our song leader. All of that's a part of our preaching, because in our Mennonite heritage, we believe that the community, that we're all priests. It's the priesthood of all believers. The interpretation of the Bible does not belong just to the preacher, but to all of us, God's people." Melissa said, "We ask questions, we comment on what we've heard, we fill in the gaps, we pray for one another, we tell each other thank you for the work done here among us. The preaching might begin in the pulpit with my sermon, but that's not where it ends. Preaching extends to the community, the other priests in the church." That was beautiful explanation, I thought, from Melissa. And I thought that's so appropriate this morning to remind you that it's one of our Anabaptist core convictions. This emphasis that all of us are part of learning and growing together. We are the priesthood of all believers. And so I ask you today through this service and as we eat food around the dinner tables after this, ask the question to one another, did you receive the good news today? And if not, what work do we still have to do for the good news to become real right here in this community? This idea that we're all a part of this preaching together is rooted in the Anabaptist tradition, the German word Zeugnis. Has anyone ever heard that German word? It means testimony. Thank you. I was hoping someone could give the right pronunciation. These were moments for the early Anabaptists of communal discernment. In fact, sometimes it even happened on the run, fleeing from persecution. But this is rooted all the way back in the 16th century, this belief that each one of us is a priest and that we need the community to help us understand and follow God's word. God's working through each of us. Amen. Now, I'm going to come back again to that at the end of the sermon, but maybe some of you are wondering what this has to do with praising and worshiping God. Well, stay tuned. I'm going to connect it. But one obvious place where it definitely connects this understanding of community is that the last two prayer meetings at Whitmer Heights, there was a theme that I was hearing. And again, going back to that community and God is actively speaking through all of us, I couldn't help but realize the connection between the prayer meetings and the lectionary text today. So 2 weeks ago, Mim Wirt led the beginning and she reminded us again to devote our praise and worship to God. Too often it seems worship can be more about us and me rather than first and foremost God. So that was that reminder that she gave to us. And then last week, Catherine Landis, who, happy anniversary today, John and Catherine. Catherine reminded us the power of song and hymns that devote our praise to God. And we actually sang like three hymns in prayer meeting. It was beautiful by memory. Just these reminders from people from within our community of how we follow Jesus and how we devote our praise and worship to God. And then I was looking at the lectionary text and in this emphasis on praise and thankfulness. So let's look a little bit at this story that Shane read for us. Our gospel story is about saying thank you. It's about turning back. And of course, because it's God's story, it happens with an ironic twist. That the one that teaches us the lesson is not an insider, but an outsider. Of course, God would work in unexpected ways like that. This is the gospel. There would be no other way. So a little bit of context is needed. There's this centuries-long rivalry and friction between Samaritans and the insider Jewish people. And so we have to know a little bit of that hostility to recognize just how powerful this story is. The region of Samaria, along with Galilee to the north, had once comprised the northern Israelite tribes, who separated from Judah in the 10th century BCE in order to establish a monarchy. And there is tension created in that. And that tension and hostility with the Samaria region completely existed in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, in this story, hostility towards Samaritans was very strong. Enough that Galilean pilgrims often bypassed the area completely en route to Jerusalem, even though it probably added considerable time to their journey. So then when we think about Jesus' message and these stories, we realize how powerful this is. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus is saying very clearly here, I know the past tension, I know that they're considered enemies, but my ministry will be one of reconciliation between past hurts and divisions. My kingdom will be one where insiders and outsiders will learn from one another. All will be a part of the kingdom of God. And here we see a picture of this in this story. That it's the Samaritan who teaches the Jewish people an important lesson. And it's important to remember as well the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to bring that in and we can see how these parallel one another. The Samaritan leper is the subject of godly love. We read, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. How incredible is it that Luke presents this Samaritan as a model of what it means to love and praise God. And if you think about the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:27, the Good Samaritan models what it means to love one's neighbor. Okay? He shows love and hospitality to the neighbor as the ones with power and privilege, a lot of the Jewish leaders just bypass this person. The Samaritan models what it means to love one neighbor. In this story, this is a story about the Samaritan showing what it means to love God. And so if we think about the two greatest commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke, it's the Samaritan in these two stories that actually models both of them. The one, what it means to love one's neighbor, and in this story, what it means to love God. Isn't that incredible how Luke does that here? This tells us just how significant this learning must be for the Jewish people. That they are learning, literally learning what the two greatest commandments are from people who were once their enemies. It's powerful to think about. And in this story specifically, it's about the power of gratitude and praise. Our Samaritan brother in this story shows us this picture by turning back around and saying, thank you. Once an enemy, now gets it. This story is one where Jesus brings healing to those who had leprosy. It's a story of physical healing, but I believe it's a story so much more than just physical healing. It's emotional healing. It's the healing from the past shame that they felt, from the past feelings like they were separated and they could not interact with people. This is a story kind of shalom, this understanding of holistic wellness that Jesus is bringing. Yes, it's physical healing, but it's so much more than that. It's healing of the mind, body, and spirit and soul. And so we see that God is a God of healing of this world. And in response to that recognition that God is healing this world, it's this invitation for us to recognize what God is at work and to simply say, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you are at work. This is certainly a theme of worship, of what it means to give thanks to the Lord out of response for what God first has done for us. This theme of worship just completely encapsulates the story of God in Scripture. I was just looking in the commentaries of all these different places where we are commanded and invited to worship God, to keep God first and foremost, a recognition of God's goodness, and a posture of saying thank you. And our psalm this morning names that as well. That was read for us. It starts out in verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. And I love it. It says, I'm not going to give thanks and praise alone, but it says I'm going to give thanks and praise in the congregation. And so worship, we see, has multiple elements. It's something that is a very individual thing, and it's something that's a very communal thing. And so what we are doing right now in worship, isn't it powerful to think that this invitation to give worship in the congregation is an invitation from the Psalms thousands of years ago? That this vision of worship would not be solely individual, but communal. That is so important. We cannot take for granted the community aspect of worship. And then in verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's ever mindful of his covenant. This is all the characteristics of who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. His praise endures forever. One of the things, as I was preparing this sermon, becoming aware of again is just how beautiful of a tradition we have in our hymn book of praise and worship to God. And sometimes just flipping through here and seeing the themes at the top of the hymn book is so awesome to do. And you know, there's a whole section just on praising and adoring. Does anybody just flip through the blue hymnal ever and just take a note? I've seen some heads nodding. That's awesome. But there is just so much incredible theology and words of praise in these songs. And then if you think about the writers, for example, hymn number 110, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, the text by Charles Wesley. I love to think about, well, what made Charles Wesley write this? What was he going through at that time? How is he experiencing just this desire to praise God? And then the music by Carl Glaser and Laurel Mason and the gifts that they had to put this music together. Each of these songs have a story behind them. But the beautiful words in these, hymn number 111, Oh, praise the gracious power that tumbles walls of fear and gathers in one house of faith all strangers far and near. We praise you, Christ. Your cross has made us one. We praise. I invite you to stay curious to the blue hymnal and to our other songs and to the beautiful contemporary music that we have. Our congregation is blessed with a rich diversity of song leaders, which I think is one of our strengths. And let's not take for granted the beautiful worship and praise in our worship materials that we have here at Whitmer Heights. So in conclusion, I'd like to go back again to what I started with. What does it mean to be a people that says thank you in the context of the importance of community, the priesthood of all believers? I think that worship and praise takes on an even more significant theological importance when we realize how all of us is a part of it together. We worship together. In our shared worship, we grow, we learn more about who God is, we learn more about one another. And if you think about how people during sharing time, I love that Melissa said, sharing time is a part of my preaching. We actually need the community to, I think, hear how God is speaking to us and to hear what worship means. We need in the community people to say, honestly, right now, it's really hard for me to say thank you because this is what I'm going through. That makes it powerful to me, because it invites vulnerability. We see a real picture of the Psalms and all the emotions when the community can share out of their experiences how they're feeling. When somebody shares how God is actively speaking to them in their life and they're finding discernment now, we need to hear that. It makes our worship more powerful. We get a bigger picture of who God is by the sharing of the community. when somebody is able to say, I'm not sure how God's answering this prayer right now. I'm feeling some confusion. We need to hear that. God speaks through the community. And in that sense, it's absolutely vital that Shane, as worship leader, God spoke through him this morning to all of us, that in Shelby's singing and leading us in singing, God spoke to and used Shelby's gifts. That as the children clanged their music makers in prelude, we saw a little glimpse of the kingdom in the children using their gifts for us this morning. God speaks and we worship God in the community, in the congregation. God is actively speaking through each of you, and we need each of your gifts this morning. And so together, may we as the community of Whitmer Heights say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to you, God, maker of heaven and earth, sustainer of all in your love, the Prince of Peace, beginning and end, Alpha and Omega, faithful from generation to generation. And even in our brokenness, Lord, even as you healed the Samaritan, we thank you that you are healing us, that you are healing this world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Amen.